things about fear. We looked at faith. We looked at how God knows and God cares, and we just need to learn to trust Him and not be of this doubtful mind, and allowing these things to affect us to where at times it can incapacitate us, where we're not fulfilling God's will for our life because we're fearful of what the morrow holds, when we're not even guaranteed the morrow. And so we always need to just learn to live in the now and live for the day to the best of our ability that God has given us. And so we need not be of a doubtful mind. By the way, that verse over there in Philippians 2 is verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on and it talks about the mind that Christ had. And because of that mind, because of what he believed, he then behaved a certain way. And he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the Bible says. But then he was exalted, the Bible said, because of those actions. And so we need to know that God's grace is sufficient for us, amen, that he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely with all give us all things, amen. And so we always need to have a good, is the right word, optimistic? We need to be optimistic. We need to look at life as not just always bad and defeated, but that we have a Father in heaven that cares for us. He loves us. He wants the best for us. I think it was Albert Einstein said something along the lines as we need to, fundamentally to how we're going to live our life, we need to decide whether we live in an evil universe or a good universe. Now, whatever he meant by that, basically what he's trying to say is how you perceive things that are happening to you is going to affect your outlook on life and what you're going to try to accomplish and not accomplish. And so if we already know that God's in control, he already says that he loves us, he's giving us instruction through the word of God on how we can live our life, if we but just apply ourselves to it and in simple faith believe those promises, remember, if we obey the precept, we'll obtain the promise. God's word has promises for us, but we must obey the precept. And so here, the first one that we looked at is a doubtful mind, one that is agitated and overly concerned with the things of this life. We need to just learn to put it aside and trust in God. He's got a plan and a purpose for us, and he'll bring these things to pass. Amen. The second one we looked at was a carnal mind. That was the fleshly mind. That was the one that was prone to sin and lust and all the sinful desires and appetites, and everything that glitters out here is not gold, amen. It'll try to deceive you and lie to you and take everything from you, and so we need to learn to be spiritually minded, amen. We need to submit ourselves to the Spirit and not to the flesh, as the Bible says over there in Galatians chapter 5 about the works of the flesh, which are manifest. Which are these? And it just lists all these horrible things. But then it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, those nine things. And so where are we going? What are we looking at? What are we listening to? What are we allowing to enter in to then affect us? And so we need not be carnally minded, because if it starts affecting our mind, remember, what is it going to affect? It's going to affect our actions. And so are we earthly minded or are we heavenly minded? Remember Colossians 3:1, and again, this is just all stuff that we covered 2 weeks ago. Colossians 3:1 says, set your affections on things above, the Bible said, not on things on this earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. If we truly believe that, that's how we're going to act, amen? Are we crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm able to do this because of what he has done for me. The grace of God that bringeth salvation, the grace of God that appeareth to all men that brings salvation, it teaches us certain things, it says over there in the book of Titus. To deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world. And so the choice is ours every day. Am I going to allow what we're calling a bad mind to affect me, or am I going to let a good mind affect me? One of the other ones we looked at was the double mind. Remember James chapter 1, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Why? Because he's thinking this way, And he's going to act this way, but yet he's also thinking this way, and he's going to act this way too. He's the fence rider. He doesn't know which side to fully commit to. Listen, just fully commit to God, amen? Just don't have a divided mind, because then you'll have divided loyalties. You'll have no set principles in your life to guide you when you start to feel certain things. And our feelings can deceive us, can they not? Well, I don't feel like that, or well, I don't feel like this today. That's not what salvation is based upon, and the promises of God, they're based upon facts, amen? And if we just hunker down, as we say, and hold on to those promises, those facts, amen, found in the Bible, we're not going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine or every feeling that we have. We're going to be anchored. Yes, we may sway just a little bit, amen, but we're not totally going to come way off base. How long halt ye between two opinions? We looked at that. Elijah over there on Mount Carmel. We looked at how Jesus said, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Let's just settle it, amen? Serve God. Okay, so let's pick up. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Now this is what we would call the worst mind of them all. If we allow these influences to affect our mind to the place where we become this is where it's just bad. This is a reprobate mind, okay? Romans 1 and verse 28. Now, leading up to this, God talks about from verse 20 and on, or verse 19 actually and on, what kind of the attitude and the actions that lead up to this reprobate mind, which are just forsaking God and not acknowledging Him as God and turning your affections and your lusts onto other things. And then when your mind starts thinking that way, your body begins acting that way. And three different times in this passage of Scripture, in verse 24 and in verse 26 and in verse 28, it says God gave them up. God gave them over. If you want to continue down a path that you reject God and you don't want His word to solidify the principles in your life to follow, then listen, if you want to act that way, then God's going to let you act that way. Amen. God gave Pharaoh many opportunities before it said Pharaoh hardened his own heart then. When the word said that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, Pharaoh kept hardening his own heart. Listen, if you're going to be stiff-necked and stubborn in your heart and in your ears, and you're not going to listen, and you're going to turn your ears from hearing the law, the Bible says that you'll suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy, Proverbs 29. So when we look here in verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then, if you just glance down, look at all that nastiness. Look at all that wickedness. Look at all these horrible things that the reprobate mind begins to commit because it does not have the word of God in it. It literally means, reprobate literally means to be disapproved, rejected, worthless, cast away. The word is a metallurgy term whereby when they would refine silver, and you'd refine silver and you'd heat it up and the dross would come up to the surface. All of the impurities, all of the bad stuff would come up to the surface, and then they'd wipe that away. That which was cast away, that was called reprobate. That was reprobate silver. It was no good. It was worthless. Jeremiah 6:30 says, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. So when we understand what the Bible says about this reprobate silver, we can see the reprobate mind, it's being rejected, it's being set aside, it's not good. Right. Turn to Titus chapter 1, please. Titus chapter 1. And so we don't want to get to the place where we have this reprobate mind, where it's just cast aside, where it's just, where we're so hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, we become scorners towards God. We become full of rebellion, and we reject His word, and we reject His will, and we reject His way. Titus 1 and verse 16, the Bible says this, They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Amen. It's just everything they try to do, it's just reprobate. It's not accepted by God. But we want to be accepted by God. And so therefore the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. We want to know that we have believed and that we're acting in accordance with what we have believed. Because it goes on to say, sorry, I can't quote that. I'm turning there, 2 Corinthians 13 in verse 5. It goes on to say this. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. So here we see the word again. Except ye be reprobates. So if I have not the faith, and I'm put aside. I'm like reprobate. So examine yourselves. Have you believed the gospel? Do you have things that accompany salvation? Is the Spirit of God working in your life? Is it teaching you and guiding you and instructing you to where, yes, you may think certain ways and now you're acting in certain ways? That's the kind of mind that we want. We want the mind of Christ, amen? We want a good Christian mind. We want a mind which is yielded over to the Spirit's control, one that has the mind of Christ. And so let's put all those bad minds aside now. Let's look at some good minds. Let's look at some good examples in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16 says, but we have the mind of Christ. And that's the mind we want to have. If you've been saved, you have the Spirit of God, which will help you and allow you to have the mind of Christ. It'll help you and allow you to have these good minds, but yes, we're still going to fight against the flesh and the devil. We're going to fight against ourselves every day to submit ourselves over to God's will, because we don't necessarily want God's will. Because we have this flesh and it wants other things. It wants to do its own thing. And so therefore, our mind needs to be renewed. It needs to be transformed. The old thinking, the old ways, the old habits all need to be changed. And it's very important early on in our Christian life when we make our profession of faith to get into the Word of God, to allow it to start to influence us and change all of those old things. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You see, with the new creature comes a new mind, amen? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so, it's like a fresh start when you're saved. Everything becomes new. But with that new mind, we need to now influence it with the good things of I don't want to say of this world, but the good things of God's word, which can help us overcome this world. Yes. Romans 12, our verse is verse 2, but we'll start in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that means I'm earnestly pleading with you by the mercies of God, because he's been so good, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. That means don't allow the things of this life to begin molding that mind of yours, because what happens is as you begin to conform to this world, you become part of this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't fall into the ways of this world and the thinking of this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what we want. We want our minds renewed. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? And that's what we all want, right? We all want the will of God for our life. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Well, there's a gap there, and we can fill that gap. It's the good, it's the acceptable, and it's the perfect will of God. That's the gap that needs to be filled. Well, how is that gap filled? It's by the transforming of my mind, by allowing God's word to speak to me and transform me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's do it God's way, amen? That's the best way. God's way. Not the way of man and the thinking of man. And there's so much out there that can lead us astray, as we say. Ephesians 4, verse 22 through 24, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen? Let's do it God's way. Let's renew that mind. Because when the mind is renewed, the life is renewed. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3. We need to free the mind from the filth and the vileness and the uncleanness and the wickedness that's in this world. Listen, let's just put it this way. Something's going to influence me. I mean, we are open to be influenced through our eyes, through our ears, through our taste, through our touch. We're continually taking stuff in. What are we taking in? 2 Peter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So this epistle here, the words that are written in the scriptures is going to stir up those pure minds. And that's what we need. We need to be reminded of these things continually. That's why we try to read our Bible every day. That's why we try to meditate on the scriptures every day. That's why we come to church. Why? To just come and sit in the pew? No, because we want our minds influenced by that which is not of the world, but by that which is of the Word. Amen. And that's what we're trying to do right now here in this Sunday school. That's what will be taking place in Sunday morning, is the scriptures are going to go forward so it can renew our minds. We can get back on the right track, amen? And we can start thinking rightly, because when we start thinking rightly, then we'll begin acting rightly. So let's stay in the Word. Oh, let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And nobody said that this is like an easy task. It's not easy just saying these things to then live these things. But God knows that. And look at what He does for us. He knows that we may falter, that we may fall, that we may not always think right, which will then end up us not always acting right. But He even tells us here. Look at in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here He tells us, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So those thoughts that are wrong, I need to get a hold of them and bring them into the captivity of Christ. Amen. Let Christ get a hold of those thoughts. Let the mind of Christ get a hold of those thoughts. And then they can be put down. Amen.
Yes.
Because, you know what? We are going to think things that aren't right at times. We are going to maybe have desires that aren't right at times. Because we have the flesh and the spirit which are battling. And the flesh may win the battle sometimes. It's not going to win the war. Amen. But it may win the battle. And so we need to grab those things. We need to bring them under the obedience of Christ and put them down. Amen? What does it say over in, I think it's over in 1 Corinthians 13. No, it's not 13. I'll find it, just not this minute. So let's go to 2 Timothy 1. But the Bible says that there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, that with the temptation, He'll make a way of escape. Yes. And so He's already telling us, listen, that temptation may come, but there's going to be a way of escape. There's always been a way of escape. But are we open to that way of escape? Remember David? Oh, who's this woman over here? Why don't you go fetch her for me? what's the way of escape? Hey, that's Bathsheba's wife. Or I mean, that's Uriah's wife. There was a way of escape. Here's David again. How big is the army? Let's count the numbers, which he was not supposed to do. And somebody said, hey, wait a second. You know, you're not supposed to do that. There was a way of escape.
Right.
God will always make a way of escape for us. Sometimes it's that still small voice. But are we open to it? Are we listening to it? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 7, how about a sound mind? Our mind it needs to be sound. 2 Timothy 1, 7, the Bible says, verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. This is a good mind to have, one that is balanced. One that is under the right influences, one that can clearly understand what God is trying to communicate through His Word, one that's able to make sound biblical decisions, because isn't that not what we do almost every day? We have to make decisions. Is this right for me, or is this wrong for me? We can exercise sound judgment, and it will show up in our conduct. And so do you have a sound mind, a pure mind? Has your mind been renewed? Is it being influenced by the Word of God continually? If not, then why not? The only reason I can see why not is that we're not spending time in the Word of God. We're either not reading it, meditating upon it. We're not open to what God is trying to teach us while we pray, if we pray, and not just before our meals or when we're in a bind, but just spending some time allowing God to influence our mind, because it will eventually influence our behavior.
Yes.
So this morning, while we're sitting here in Sunday school, are we open to what we're hearing? When the pastor gets up and starts preaching Sunday morning, are we going to be open to what he's saying? This is our time, amen. This is when God is trying to influence us. This is why we come to church. So let's not be thinking about lunch. Let's not be thinking about work activities next week or sports activities next week or school next week or whatever it may be, you know, that's causing us any anxiety or fears. But let's give way to it to allow God to speak to us right now. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. We got to ask ourselves, what is our attitude while we come to the church house? While the preaching is taking place, do we really believe that this is the most important thing that's taking place right now in our life? Because God is going to try to speak to us through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And if I'm open, I might get something that will really help me. And it will really change me. Whatever your profession may be, if you have a profession and somebody's going to come and speak about that specific profession or activity, you're going to be listening.
Yes.
Because you want to hear, because there might be something that you get that will change you. Well, we should look at it no differently than when the teaching and preaching takes place from the Word of God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 19. Here's Paul talking about some of his ministry here. He said that he's serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. So here we see mind connected with humility. We know that a proud mind, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Paul said, when I am abased, then I abound. But if I'm proud, God will put me down.
Yes.
So remember, we're trying to look to the end here, the actions. Well, the actions, again, are influenced by the mind. So if the mind is proud, then the actions are going to be proud.
Yes.
I'm going to think that I'm something,
right,
that I'm somebody, and that I got it together, and that I know really what's going on. But we really don't. We just allow God to know what's going on and be in control of our lives and humbly submit and follow Him. Are we able to rejoice when others are honored? Are we able to esteem others better than ourselves? You see, Paul did not ever take any credit for God's working through him. He knew that it was all God's, it was to be all God's glory. Anything that he accomplished, he just reflected that based upon that light, God. Yes. He did not take it to himself and bask in it in himself and say, look at me and what I've done and my converts and my churches. No, it was all what God did through him. And so, do we have that humble mind? Or is it proud? We need to remember that whenever we start walking in pride, the Bible says that God is able to bring down those that walk in pride. And so let's not walk in pride. Let's have a humble mind. Let's be open to learning. Let's be open to teaching whatever God will have for us. And if we begin to see in ourselves that pride is beginning to rise up, let's put it down ourselves before God puts it down. Let's go back over to Titus, please. Titus chapter 2. I'm sorry, I had one verse. I'll just go ahead and read it to you. I just found it here. Under that humble mind, 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, Paul said, "For I am the least of the apostles." Now, he accomplished quite a bit. But yet he was saying, listen, I'm just the least of the apostles. "That I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." He still remembers what took place, how he lived his life before he was saved. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." So what he's trying to say there is anything that I accomplished was because of the grace of God that was in my life. And listen, anything that we ever accomplish in our life, whether it's something in our careers, whether it's something in our finances, whether it's something spiritually, whether it's something physically, it's the grace of God in us. Because what are we without the grace of God? We're nothing. He deserves the credit. He deserves the honor. Why? Because we are his creation. And without him, as Jesus said, "Without me, ye are nothing." 1 John 15, he said there. "For without me, ye can do nothing." By the way, what does it say way back over in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe somewhere in chapter 8? He said, listen, remember that it's God that gives you the power to create your wealth. He gives us the strength to do what we do. He gives us the mind to do what we do. So let's have a sober mind, amen? Titus chapter 2. Titus 2. Look here in verse 6. "Young men," I don't see any young men in here. "Young at heart," amen? "Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." He's just going on saying, listen, young men, let's be temperate. Let's be discreet. Let's be serious. Let's have control over our passions. Let's have control over our appetites. Let's learn to be moderate. Let our moderation be known unto all men. Let's govern our mind by the word of God. Let's be concerned about our actions. Let's be watchful over ourselves when we're in mixed companies. Let's be aware. Let's not go too far this way or too far that way. Let's not be rash. Let's not be frivolous. Let's not be indulgent, which is very easy to do, is it not? And depending on where you're at and what's going on. Remember Daniel? Daniel could have ate of the finest meats and drank the finest wines that that countryside had to offer him. He could, but he said, no, listen, just feed me some beans and water. And he tempered his body through that.
Right.
And you know what? In the end, he was better for it, the Bible said.
Yes.
After so many days, they came back and looked, and wow, look at Daniel and the other Hebrew boys here that are committed to this strictness, as we may say it. They're better off than these that were eating the flesh and drinking the wine. It'll do us good sometimes to learn to be temperate. But that comes from having a sober mind, knowing to have everything in balance. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. We still got just a few more minutes. 1 Peter chapter 3. And again, all we're doing here this morning, it's very simple. Remember when we talked about studying the Bible, how we can study the Bible? We can study it topically. We can study it exhortationally, meaning just within specific paragraphs or chapters. We're doing a topical study, and you can do this on your own too. You just look at where the Bible talks about the mind, use your concordance, and begin to see, okay, here's where it talks about good things. I'm going to put all these together and I'm going to study that. Here's where it talks about bad things. I'm going to put all these together and study that. 1 Peter 3 in verse 8, the Bible says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. We need to have this one mind. And to have one mind comes from having one doctrine. Amen? And that one doctrine is found in the Word of God. It's what's called the faith. One faith over there, I think, in Romans, it says. And when we have this one mind, we can then have unity. We can have harmony. Why? Because this person over here is not believing one thing, and this person over here is not believing a different thing. And then, remember, their beliefs dictate their behaviors, and so they're doing something different, and they're doing something different. No, we have this one mind, we have unity, we have harmony in our doctrine, and because we have it in our doctrine, we have it then in our practice. We'll have the same goals to do the work of God, and whatever it may be that the church is doing at any given time. We have the unity, and therefore we have the practice. We regard one another. We love one another. We're like-minded. We're commanded over in the book of Philippians 2:2 to be like-minded, to be of this one mind. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be in agreement? Whether in marriage, in family, work, in church. So, one heart, one soul, Acts 4:32. Do we have that one mind? Do we see it in our actions? Or do we question why our brother or sister, why are they doing that? Why are they doing this? Who's right? Who's wrong? Well, who knows? Well, what's the doctrine? Are we walking in accordance to the faith, the Bible? Amen? And what it says. Let's move on. Let's look at one more. Let's go to, here in 1 Peter, let's look at two more real quick. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. I'll go real quick. Let's see. I got 3 minutes. Let's have a ready mind, amen? 1 Peter 5, 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. And now this is written specifically towards the pastor, but what we can take out of this as just a Christian individual is that I need to cheerfully, promptly, willing, be ready to serve, be ready to go. If I am a husband or a spouse, if I am a parent, that I need to learn to be ready to teach those that God has allowed me to instruct.
Yes.
Willingly, cheerfully, amen. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 4, last place, Nehemiah 4. Where's Nehemiah? Let's see. Before the book of Job. Nehemiah chapter 4, So we just saw the ready mind. We looked at that super fast, amen. Ready to serve, ready to give, ready to go, whatever it is. My mind is ready. Why? Because it's been influenced by the Word of God. Nehemiah 4 and verse 6, lastly. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Why? For the people had a mind to work, amen. They had a working mind. They were ready to engage in it, to be vigorous in it, to cheerfully give, to go, to build, to do whatever was at hand. And here, what was at hand was building the wall. Well, what's at hand right now? Well, whatever the church is putting forward at any given time, amen. That's what we need to be focused on. That's what we need to do. That's where we need to lend our hand. And the only way we're going to lend our hand is if we first lend our mind. The only way that we're going to go is if we have the mind to go. The only way we're going to be able to give is if we have the mind to give. The only way we're going to be able to say no to this, that, or the other is if we have a mind that is willing to say no. Okay? So what have we looked at this week and last week? We've looked at bad minds. We've looked at good minds. What mind do you want to have? Let's have the good mind. Amen? How do we get it? We get it right here through the Word of God. So I pray that this morning you've been challenged by the Scriptures to have this mind. I know we've rifled off a whole lot really fast, but hopefully something will sink in and you'll take it with you and prosper from it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the Word of God. I pray that it's reached down into our hearts and that now we're willing to let it make its way to our hand and we're willing to act in accordance with your word. I pray, Father, that you would bless this morning's message. Father, that many would hear the word of God and respond to it. Lord, that you would help us in every area of our life that we need a victory in. Lord, pray that you'd renew our minds with this word and that we would fully commit and trust you in all endeavors and areas of our life. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You're dismissed.